Okay, I am honored today to be interviewing Dr. Awomana Asiedu, a senior lecturer in the School of Performing Arts at the University of Ghana. Welcome, Awo, to today's interview.
Thank you very much, Jane.
I was hoping to get us going that you could introduce yourself to us so we know a bit more about your background and context.
Okay. So my name is Awomana Asiedu, as you've already said, and I teach at the University of Ghana, the Theatre Arts Department of the School of Performing Arts. I've been doing that for quite a long time right now. I teach courses mainly in African theatre and performance. I consider myself as a theatre historian. I do more theory and history courses than practical courses. So that's it really.
Thank you so much. I like how you say that's it, but there's already a lot within that.
Okay, great.
I would like us to get going because the Retags project is all about looking at the use of tragedy, especially on the African continent. I'd like to start with getting a notion of what do you consider to be tragedy?
Okay. Well, like many African students, we study tragedy through the Greek eyes. So we learn about tragedy through the definitions that are given by Aristotle. So that's how we started off thinking of tragedy as some grand tale about a noble person who has a tragic flaw and things like that. And then you get to Arthur Miller and you get to learn about the tragedy of the common man and things like that. But I guess for me, tragedy would be a tale that inspires a great deal of sadness and pity. Well, going back to Aristotle, aren't I? But a story that is profound in many ways, a story that really deals with the realities of human life, the realities of human pain and human struggle. I think that would be it for me really. And it doesn't have to be about any noble person. It can be about any ordinary person.
Okay. And then taking that notion of the tragedy as we understand it for theatre and for classical studies, what do you understand by the concept of the tragic?
Well, the tragic, as in everyday life, I guess, out of the context of theatre and drama, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. It's difficult to say without reference to things that happen around us, things that I think we all recognize what is tragic when we see it. You know, something that perhaps could have been prevented but wasn't, something that results in the loss of life or a loss of quality of life. Because we talk about an accident, for example, a road accident as being tragic when there's a loss of life or things like that, or we talk about somebody's life being snuffed off through illness, like the current pandemic, I'm sure would describe as tragic. There's so many loss of lives. I think we all would recognize the tragic when we see it. You know, something that would make us fearful and sad. Yes.
Would you say that the tragic is quite commonplace in your Ghanaian context?
Yes, definitely. Tragic things happen all the time, I think, in terms of the everyday life. That's what you mean, right?
Absolutely.
Or in terms of theatre. I guess we have to be going between the two, since theatre really is a reflection of life.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think tragedy is part of life. The tragic is part of life. And so definitely within the Ghanaian context, we do have that, yes.
Because I wonder...
Jane, I'm sorry. Can you give me just a minute, please?
No problem.
Just a minute.
Yes, absolutely. So we were just reflecting on the everyday tragedies that are experienced in Ghana. And also, I must say, in South Africa, tragedy is a very commonplace theme mm-hmm. and experience in the everyday in South Africa. And yes. I think this makes the research really interesting in regards mm-hmm. to the understanding of why do you think it is that we are still studying the tragic or tragedy on the African continent?
Well, I mean, I guess, how do I say this? I guess research often looks at phenomenon in life, I guess. So, and since tragedy didn't end with a certain era, and it's still with us, I think it makes sense that we'll continue to study it. Maybe what is interesting is studying it as a feature of theater mm-hmm. and performance. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm sure I should have read about the research and how tragedy has been defined, but there's this interesting notion about how tragedy works on the stage in Ghana, for example. Mm-hmm. Like when tragic scenes are performed, Ghanaian audiences, they say, would laugh rather than be moved to tears. And I often say it's not necessarily that laughter may be out of discomfort or out of the fact that people want to have fun when they go to the theater. So no matter what you put before them, they're going to find something funny to laugh about. Mm. Or else it could be because, from my experience anyway, sometimes the portrayal of the tragic is such that it becomes comical because of poor acting or poor delivery or whatever it is. So I don't know if I'm running ahead of myself, but all of these things would make for interesting study, I guess. So... yeah,
absolutely. And I think that's interesting, especially on the reflection of comedy and humor and maybe actors playing up to the humor because they don't trust that audiences can take the gravity of the tragedy or that mm-hmm. they would prefer in the moment to be more light. Mm-hmm. But this also makes me think, do you think there is such a notion as the concept of an African tragedy? For the stage.
For the stage. There could be an African representation of tragedy, but I think tragedy is universal. If we say an African tragedy, are we saying that experience is exclusively African, or are we looking at an African renderation of a tragic incident? I don't know if that makes sense. We say African tragedy, what do we mean? I mean, is it an African play that is representing something tragic or that is presenting a tragic moment? I don't know. Do you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. And I think it's also interesting because is there such a thing as an African tragedy that can be a theatrical form that can sit outside of an Aristotelian model?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, yes. If that's what we mean, then we are looking at a form that is African, but I don't think that's necessary. I mean, that's my point of view. I mean, I don't know.
What makes you believe that it's not necessary?
It's like feeling a need to have a parallel system that is African or creating something new. That is what I don't think is necessary. Yeah. I don't know if I'm expressing this right.
So potentially the idea is that the form of tragedy, even though Aristotelian and European at its core, still mm-hmm. reflects and has meaning to audiences in different contexts. It doesn't have to be entirely reappropriated and like created in a new form for it to hold
okay.
context.
That is one way of, I guess that's one way of looking at it. But I feel that the Aristotelian version of tragedy has already been revised over time. Mm-hmm. And looking at, for example, Arthur Miller's idea of the tragedy of the common man, looking at death of a salesman, mm-hmm. and others that have come after that, you know. So, yeah, and so maybe we could look at some. I haven't thought about it fully before, but perhaps what might be interesting would be to look at some African plays that present the tragic and try and see if we can identify a certain form that may emerge, but I haven't done that.
I think this is why we're starting to partake in this research, so we can have a better understanding of what mm-hmm. kinds of forms tragedy is taking on the African
within
continent.
The context. Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
because because if I were to use a familiar text like Arthur Miller's play, mm-hmm. I've never thought of it in these terms. But if I were to look at some of his plays that dealt with apartheid, for example. Mm. Could we consider those as tragic plays? I don't know. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I mean, or if we looked at Wole Soyinka's Death and a King's Horseman, for example, would we consider that as a tragic play in the African context? I mean, all of these things deal with tragic incidents. Mm. Okay, so so maybe the question we're asking is, what is it that makes a play tragic outside of that Aristotelian definitions of tragedy?
And what do you think makes a play tragic outside of those definitions?
I think I have to go back to what we all recognize as tragedy, what we all recognize as the tragic in life. Okay.
I also I'm interested in the notion of myth in tragedy.
Of what?
Myth.
Myth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that comes up a lot, right? And I think we can look at the production that was done in 2007, Timberlake Wharton Barker's The Love of the Nightingale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is based on a Greek myth.
It is, yes.
Yeah, correct. So do you know why this play was chosen to be staged at the University of Ghana?
Okay, it was staged by two of my colleagues. I think they were essentially interested in the issue of rape, issue of women being taken advantage of. If I remember correctly, I think they were interested in those issues, and I guess one of them studied in the UK, and I guess she probably came across this text and probably liked it. Mm-hmm. And wanted to explore it with her students in directing. So all of those things might have influenced their choice of the play. Yeah, and I must say that it's quite a powerful play, and it worked very well on our Ghanaian stage. So yeah.
When you say it worked very well, do you mean in terms of a performance? Do you think it was also how it was received by the audience?
Both, I would say. In terms of performance, it was quite a difficult play for our students to interpret and to realize. And I think it took a lot of hard work on the part of the directors to actually realize it. But I think that it was also very well received, actually. Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, we don't have any written reviews that I'm aware of the production, which is not unusual.
Because that's also an interesting thing. I was looking about the production on Wikipedia, and I've seen other adaptations mentioned on it, but this one was not. And just the lack of information about stagings of productions in Africa are just are very hard to come by on open access platforms.
I think we need to how do they say it, up our game in terms of documenting and reviewing our productions. I think that's an area which we need to work a bit harder on in these parts, because I remember when I was doing my own PhD research in 2000s, thereabouts, it was very difficult getting information on productions that had been done by our school. The best you would get perhaps would be the program notes for the production. So that's an area that needs to be worked on, definitely.
So coming back to this production, your involvement is you were performing the character of Niobe?
Yes. Actually, my colleagues managed to get me on stage after a long time.
And how was it to perform?
It was interesting because I think she represented everything that I am not, in a sense that she kind of accepted the inevitability of women being taken advantage of by men, and she was a bit matter of fact about it, and for me that was a bit problematic. But I had to present that role because that's what she really stood for, in a certain sense. It was quite a challenging role, actually. And in the end, I thoroughly enjoyed playing the role in the end. But
do you think there are women who in Ghana who do potentially hold that view? I mean, we know there are atrocities done against women and young women throughout Africa. But do you think there are women who do believe that culturally that is appropriate or okay?
Unfortunately, I have to say yes. Unfortunately, I think there are a lot of Niobes in Ghana. And that is just because perhaps they've come to the point of feeling powerless themselves. It's like there's nothing that you can do about this. This is what happens. And you just have to accept it. And so there are women like that. And I think it's just the accepting of their position of powerlessness. And so that's where the need to empower becomes necessary. They need to educate and let people know that there is, you can have a voice and you can resist oppression. You don't have to accept it. Interestingly, I mean, studies on rape and not just rape, but abuse of women have shown that some women even think that it's a sign that their husbands love them when they beat them up because they care enough to beat them up. It's really bizarre. I think it's bizarre, but I've heard people say that. And it's really not, it doesn't make any sense to me, seriously. Yeah.
And in a way, it becomes its own myth, right? It's this myth of the woman who deserves this kind of treatment. I want to ask, in terms of the staging of the production, was there any adaptation to the text to make it more... speak to the Ghanaian context more, because I note Niobe is still the same name that was used in the original text.
Yes. Jane, I'm sorry, this is where I need to let you pause just for 2 minutes. I'll be right back.
All right.
Yes. So you were asking if the player had been adopted in any way. I don't think so. I don't think there was any conscious adaptation. I should have checked with the director, but looking back, and I think it was the same script that Wattenberger had written. And that is not uncommon, really. We do a lot of European plays without adapting them to the Ghanaian context.
Why do you think that is?
I think there are some things that just translate without needing to be translated. If that makes any sense. You know, and unless there's some political reason or some interpretation that would be best if adopted. But I think most of the time we do a lot of plays without adapting because they translate easily into our context somehow. Maybe because of the issues that they deal with. I think I'm thinking we've done lots of European plays in the school, in my school, like from there's a Czech Republic play called RUR. I don't know if you've heard about it. About robots and stuff. I can't remember it very clearly, but that was done without any adaptation. We've done Arthur Miller's All My Sons. It's been done in Ghana without any adaptation. The Crucible, a lot of Shakespeare. And recently these my colleagues who did Wattenberger also translated did Lara Foote's what is it called? Something about the moose.
Oh, Karoo Moose.
Karoo Moose, yeah. They did that, yeah, without much adaptation, I think. Yeah.
And when we talk about adaptation, I guess in this context we're talking about a text adaptation. But what about, for example, about the visual adaptation? Are like clothing that is more familiar to a Ghanaian text context, music? Or do you think the look also represents a more Euro-American-centric aesthetic?
In fact, the Wattenberger's text, they tried to represent it with the costumes that Wattenberger would have suggested, or the text would have suggested. Yeah. So I don't really remember. I can't remember it clearly, but it certainly wasn't Ghanaian costumes. It certainly wasn't. The context was not, there was no attempt to make it into a Ghanaian context with Ghanaian costumes and things like that. No, that didn't happen. No.
I found this really interesting, and I guess it raises the question of why do you think some theatre makers or directors or writers feel the need to adapt texts to their local context?
Yeah, that's something that's interesting. I haven't really thought about it, but often they are trying to represent it as is. Because we've done some Shakespearean text in Ghana where they've reproduced 16th century British costumes, 17th century British costumes. So maybe it's a way of getting our design students to be creative or to imagine other contexts. But it's interesting. I mean, so unless the play is an adaptation, clearly, where the context has been changed and is being produced, like there are plays like that. For example, we've had Julius Caesar done in Akan with Ghanaian names and Ghanaian costumes and things like that. So that also does happen. But by and large, I think, and it's the same if you're doing a Nigerian play, for example. I mean, directors don't necessarily feel the need to adapt it to the Ghanaian context. So would have costuming that is Nigerian, for example. I guess there's this thing about trying to create the context of the world of the play on our Ghanaian stages. Yeah. But having said that, as I said, there are instances where directors are consciously translating into the Ghanaian context. So they might change the visual, as you put it. Yeah. But in this particular production of Wattenberger, there was no attempt to change that.
And it makes me reflect when you talk like this about the idea that I wonder if adaptation is also a mistrust that an audience won't receive the information unless it's been put into a localized context. And you're saying, like, we don't really have this need to adapt so much because the audiences understand. They are already making, in a way, they're doing that translation in their own mind.
Yeah, but I guess, I mean, by and large, that may be true, but there are certain instances where that might be necessary. I think, I don't know. I mean, these are raising questions that I haven't really thought about, but as I said, sometimes, like I've just recently taught a play that was an adaptation of Shakespeare's The Tempest by a Mauritian called Tufan, a Mauritian fantasy. And he makes some very interesting choices by way of adapting the play. And the conclusion I draw is because he wanted it to be, he was writing back in a certain sense. There was a political motivation because he also translates, he uses Mauritian Creole, for example, as a main medium. But then, of course, then we in Ghana are reading it in English because then it's been translated back into English for us. So there are all kinds of interesting things happening when people are adapting, I guess. So their motivation, I guess, would be one of the issues. What is motivating this adaptation? What is the aim? What are they trying to achieve? All of those things would come into whether or not they change stuff. I'm thinking again about another adaptation that I've taught students. It's an adaptation of Ibsen's A Doll's House into a Nigerian context.
Yeah. Do you know who that play is by?
Yes, it's by what's her name? Uto Eziejuk. Tracy Uto Eziejuk. And it's called Nuora, an African Doll's House. So obviously referencing Ibsen's A Doll's House. And she also makes very interesting choices because of what she was seeking to do, you know, in the play. So I guess adaptations really would, I mean, whether or not to adapt would depend on the motivation of the director and so on. Yeah. And the playwright, I guess. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think you also are very accurate and astute in the comments around that it usually also speaks to a political climate and a particular one that artists need to speak towards. And in a way, using the forms of tragedy seem to be very strong in our context to use. In this regard, I'd like to come and talk about Idufa by Ifua Sutherland, because this is a famous Ghanaian adaptation, right, of Euripides' work.
Yes.
How, in your opinion, has she made it a Ghanaian adaptation versus just an African adaptation?
First of all, of course, the context is clearly Ghanaian. With the opening, the the names, the references that are made, some of the traditions that are introduced, like the beginning, is not collecting dew or something. I can't even quite remember the text. You know, some of the references that are made. And the way she recreates some of the characters and all of that certainly makes it all very Ghanaian. And some of the rituals that are adopted. For example, when what's the name of the lady? Ampoma is about to die. She takes off her waist beads and puts them around Edufe's neck, for example. It has a certain Ghanaian interpretation, I'm told, you know, that she's claiming him, and even though she's dying, she's putting her seal, her mark on him, and so on. So all of these things definitely mark it out as very Ghanaian and very recognizable, I guess, to the Ghanaian audiences. Yeah, I can't remember the equivalence in ancestors, to be honest. Yeah. Is there a similar thing in ancestors? I don't think so.
I don't know that. I wouldn't know. I haven't read the text in a very long time. Okay. But I definitely will keep eyes open for it. Do you teach this text as part of your coursework?
It's a long time since I taught Edufa, actually. It's a long time since I taught Edufa, but I have taught Edufa before. Yeah.
Are there ever performances of it then in Ghana?
Oh, definitely. There are quite a number of performances that I have seen of Edufa from my student days here and even till now. I think maybe as recent as the 2000s, it's in the repertoire of our resident theater company. So, and I think for some time also it was part of the secondary school set text, so they would perform it for schools and things like that. So Edufa is quite a common text in Ghana.
And when it's performed, is it usually very similar each time, or do directors take incredibly different portrayals of it?
I'm trying to remember some of the productions. Maybe not very different. Maybe the interpretations of the roles by the actors might differ. I've seen Edufa played by very strong actors that project him as a very strong individual. I've seen Edufa represented as somebody who's quite unsure of himself and his own identity. So I guess it is the interpretation of the roles of the various characters, and of course, maybe influenced by the director's directorial vision. No two productions, I guess, are ever the same, really.
This is very true. I kind of also want to come back to another trope that seems to be quite common in tragedies, and that is that they all have very tragic endings. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, do you think that all tragedies should have tragic endings?
Well, I guess if they didn't, they wouldn't be tragedies, would they? I don't know. I mean, yeah, because Alcestis, the original text, doesn't end in a tragic manner, actually. So we would call it a tragic comedy, perhaps, or a bit of a melodrama, perhaps. I don't know. But I think tragic texts often should leave you feeling that this is really tragic. I mean, if the ending becomes less so, then I guess it takes away from it. I hope that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. It does. And then I'm also just wondering, in terms of audience reception, because you mentioned the last kind of production of at least of a Dufo you saw in the 2000s, but do you think it's I don't want to say commercial, but do you think that typical Ghanaian audiences would choose to go watch a tragedy in their free time as entertainment?
Well, I mean, you raised an important issue here. I mean, all these productions of Edufa I'm talking about were not commercial productions. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that maybe it's might be a difference between the Ghanaian theater industry and maybe the South African and other parts. A lot of the productions of these tragic plays or that we have in Ghana are often done in the university context. Mm. Or in a school's context, and our productions are hardly commercial our productions. Okay, so they might be staff productions or students productions or productions by our resident theater company. Mm. Hardly ever commercial. Commercial theater in Ghana is often comic. It's often comedy. Mm. Okay, so this kind of theater we are talking about here would not make it commercially. People will not be able to produce this and break even at the gate and pull crowds. That is absolutely, at least at this point in the history of Ghanaian theater, I don't think that's possible. Okay, the kind of theater that pulls crowds, it's more the comedy, melodramatic plays that happen at the National Theatre. Mm. If you do a Dufa at the National Theatre and for a paying audience, you may not be able to fill the audience, the theatre to halfway. Mm. If you are doing it commercially, at least nobody has really done it. Mm. So that's the reality of the Ghanaian theater industry right now. That the kind of plays that fill the National Theater are plays by Rovoman Productions that are highly commercial, very light-hearted. People go and laugh and laugh and laugh.
So then the performances, these tragedies that are being done within the university space, are predominantly marketed at a university audience, or do...
Yes, for a university audience and at very low gate fees. Mm. Because the philosophy of the school, really, our productions are meant for teaching, for research purposes, and don't really have a commercial intent. So we do sell tickets at the gates, and people do buy tickets and come, but it's not with a commercial intent. Mm. If that makes sense.
Yes. So, I mean, it really is. It's a pedagogical tool, really, to understanding mm-hmm. theater.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, any other point you might like to raise about tragedy and how it's presented in Ghana that I may not have thought to ask mm-hmm. you?
Yeah. Well, I one thing I have always said is I have seen excellent performances of plays outside of Ghana that have been spellbinding mm. because of the quality of the production. Because a lot had gone into the production and things like that. Mm. And I often feel that if we're able to achieve that kind of quality in terms of acting, in terms of production for Ghanaian audiences, it's possible to eliminate laughter when the tragic is presented. That is my own thinking. I think I often feel that the reason why Ghanaian audiences might laugh at the representation of the tragic is because of the level of acting. or something going wrong. For example, I think I mentioned in my the questionnaire that I filled that a tragic scene in Wurtenberger's play, The Love of a Nightingale, turned very comic when the little boy who was being killed decided to wake up and laugh when he was being killed, which was really very sad. I mean, for me, it was tragic. And the directors were very upset about it. And obviously, the audience would laugh, you know, and then because the audience laughed, then he felt, you know, encouraged to do it again, which was really unfortunate, you know. And so some of these mishaps in acting or lack of professionalism or lack of, I don't know, quality kind of detract from a true representation of the tragic on our stages, I think.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. I mean, I think the quality is very important, and if not mm-hmm. done sensitively, starts to move into the melodrama, right?
Yes, exactly.
Which starts to hold humor. But also in the form, you wrote something that I thought was really interesting, that you noted that even though audience members were laughing in these very tragic moments, mm-hmm. if they were to have that moment in reality or in their real life, there would be no laughter, that they understood mm-hmm. the difference about the reality that was happening in the theater space versus mm-hmm. it as real. I thought that was... Yeah. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah. I mean, nobody would laugh if they saw a young boy being murdered in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody would be horrified, you know, but on stage, everybody knows this is make-believe. You know, so and especially if it's not done very well, then it's like it's an opportunity for laughter, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah. But at the same time, it's quite interesting that even though people know what is on stage is make believe, sometimes they I don't know how to put this, maybe if this is not going off course. But I've known instances where people have played very terrible roles on stage or maybe in on screen. And then in their real life, people associate them with that kind of characteristic.
Mm.
You know, so it's quite interesting how people relate real life to on stage or on screen life. And they know that it is make-believe, but when you go off the stage or off screen, then they kind of associate you with that kind of role, that kind of typecasting, and assume that that's how you really are in real life. So that is quite an interesting thing, actually, audiences' perceptions of reality on stage and off stage.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I also wonder if it also speaks to the form that tragedy takes, is that it is in a way so it doesn't, or versions of it, don't allow us to become so absorbed and start to take it as reality. The form kind of can push us back a bit so we can go, oh, we are watching a play. But the language reminds us, or the visuals or the use of chorus, it reminds us constantly that it is a play.
Yeah. And then of course, then we can be a bit more comfortable.
Right, there's also that, because as you say, the themes are very big and also sometimes not very far away from our own reality.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time and your insights and your thoughts and reflections on this topic.
Great, thank you. I'm glad I could be of help. In this.
Oh, absolutely. So just thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Great, Jane.